On this Labor Day weekend, hear the gospel story of Jesus reminding us how all work must be balanced with rest. Our reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they were picking heads of wheat and eating them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath law." But he said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those with him were hungry? He went into God's house and broke the law by eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple treat the Sabbath as any other day and are still innocent? But I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, that I want mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. I tell you, the human one is Lord of the Sabbath." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Delighted to be with all of us in this sanctuary. And those of you who are watching on Facebook or listening to the radio, we really welcome you, knowing you're part of the body of Christ with us. And I want to formally say I appreciate Tia Brueggemann as liturgist today. Name didn't make it into the bulletin because the bulletins were published early in the week. But Tia said, yes, I might be new to the congregation, but I want to step in and be part of liturgy. Thank you for serving that way. Well, I say hooray for Labor Day weekend. It's the last leisure hurrah before the predictable routines of the fall that we've been knowing are coming come before us. How's yours going? Pretty well? Having a good holiday weekend? I hope you are. Do you know that this holiday we celebrate got started for more noble reasons than just having a leisurely picnic today and tomorrow and maybe catching the online sale at Amazon? Did you know that more than a century ago, workers in factories and mines often were pressed into having jobs that had at least 12-hour shifts? And many times, depending on what the management wanted, you would work 7 days plus with no day off. And there was really rarely a talk of vacation, certainly none that would be paid vacation as workers. And that was the reality of common labor in our country. This is our history as a country. So as workers convened and thought about, can't this be better for us and our families, they organized protests and walk-offs out of work to coerce and ask management to meet them at the table and find a way to have an equitable way to work together. This is our history. Why, even in our little town here lately in Traverse City, we've been following in the paper of nurses who are in that push and pull of negotiating work conditions with management. And I say this is good. Labor unions are as American as apple pie. So on this Labor Day weekend, I'm here to say that humane and gainful employment is a wonderful thing. You could even say work is an act of love when we're conscious that what we're doing is contributing to the common good. I really want to think about that together a little bit today. How do you view the work you are engaged in this life? And I want you to think of work in really broad terms. Work is about creating value. Think about children. I was thinking about as Dale was with the kids here a little bit. Our children, when we were children, if you think back on it, our play is our work when we're children. You know, the teaming together, the sharing of a toy, the making and creating something, a project that really is the work of children. And then we enter our career path. And maybe career has a zigzagged way of touching into several trades and pursuits and jobs Maybe you stay with one career over the course of 3 or 4 decades. And then we step finally out of the 9-to-5 workforce to focus more on things like family, or maybe our health, or retirement, or maybe writing our memoir, or maybe some hobby, or maybe friends we've really wanted to be with more, and we leave our community and travel across country to be with people we know and love. And I want to say on all of those, all of this is truly our life work. So I want you to think of work in real broad terms, whether you're a student here today, or you're someone who volunteers in retirement, and that's kind of your contribution to culture. All of that is life work, friends. Our life work is whatever we are doing to create value in this life, okay? Consider the basketball phenom, Steph Curry, who plays for the Golden State Warriors, and his athleticism, his work on the court, is something that looks like art or ballet. He is amazing. He's not the only NBA player who's amazing, but I think Steph Curry is definitely in the amazing category. Well, Steph Curry wanted to leverage his high athleticism and work ethic to bring value to the life of girls. So he's created this basketball camp for girls that has been written about in the last month. Perhaps you've caught some of the articles. It's all meant to build skills in girls and communicate confidence and problem solving on the court, using those as life lessons. Here he's quoted about his work working with girls at his basketball camp. He says, "I want our girls to grow up knowing there are no boundaries that can be placed on their futures, period." Doesn't it inspire us when we see people who use their life work to elevate and better off other people? Aretha Franklin and John McCain, gone from our midst here in the last week or so. But we saw in them, did we not, how their life worked to bless the common good. So much has been said at their wakes and their funerals about how they contributed in things that were larger than themselves. Oh, may it be said of all of us when we pass from this realm. Our life work is about leaving the place better than we found it. That's our life work. But we hear in the gospel story today that Tia read to us a reminder of a truth that's even bigger than that. That you and I are so much more than the work we do. I want to say that again because I think that is such an important takeaway in the spiritual life, especially in American culture. We are so much more than the work we do. So how do you balance work? And again, I'm thinking work and really broad. You know, if you're an active grandparent, that's some of your work. If you're if you're volunteering, that's your work. If you keep your home or someone else's home, if you're a student in high school getting ready to start tomorrow, it's your work. How do you balance your work and the rest of your lives? Does one flow seamlessly into the other? And is that always a good thing? Or are you always on? You know what it means to be on? Always just an iMessage click away from some pressing detail at the office or some school assignment you've got to suddenly work on even harder. Do you ever question the drivenness that keeps us checking our cell phones every 2 minutes? Or has us caught up in a feeling of hurry that plagues our American culture these days? Hurry. I see it in people even in retirement, even on your day off, even on a Labor Day weekend. Well, in the presence of Jesus today, These are very good questions to hold in front of ourselves, to reflect on where is the balance in us. Because, you know, that's part of the point, as Dale was saying with the kids, that's part of the point of the spiritual life, is to move continually toward a balance that has us know we're fully alive and free from compulsions and addictions and living as people in contentment and contributing to other people. I think that's the point of the spiritual life. Well, these questions about how driven are we, they're questions you need to ask. They're certainly questions I need to ask myself. As I noticed that even while on vacation deep in the Rocky Mountains a couple of weeks ago, I was tempted to check my work email every day and somehow appear busy and not simply resting in all that beauty God had spent millennia to create. Can anybody here relate to that? Okay. Do we know that there is a commandment in the Bible, one of the famous Ten Commandments, that could not be more clear that there is more to us than being human doings, because we're really human beings? In fact, it commands us to cease work one day out of seven. Just so you and I can remember before God and everyone that every one of us sitting here are created in the image of God with a dream God has for us that's more than just being productive and earning a paycheck and accomplishing labor. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In other words, chill on a regular basis and look for what God is doing around you. It's not a bad commandment. But over time, from the time Moses came down from Mount Sinai with this list of commandments, this being one of them, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, from that time, that commandment started getting messy and being laden down with all sorts of amendments and other reasons and things you'd better keep in mind on the Sabbath day, full of rules. Oh, the religious leaders would tell people these long, long lists of what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath day, what was considered work and what was not considered work. Until the time Jesus came along 2,000 years ago, there were 39 categories of activities you were prohibited from participating in on a Sabbath, because if someone saw you, it might appear like you were working on the Sabbath. This sounds very crazy, I know. For instance, according to Jewish law, on Sabbath you could not do any planting or plowing or reaping or gathering or grinding, sifting, kneading, or baking, and that was just in the bread category. Enter Jesus and his disciples. We heard read a moment ago the story about Jesus on a hike one day with his disciples. You know, it was their habit. Jesus, this itinerant preacher healer, he would go from hamlet to village. Maybe they'd had a meal, maybe not. They seemed to find this great opportunity. It was the harvest season. They were walking through a wheat field. And I don't know how tasty this would be, but they were plucking off the heads of ripe wheat and popping it in their mouth as a way to carry them on until they got to the next village. And that act happened in the presence of some religious leaders of the day who took offense, because it was the Sabbath day. If you're a good Jew, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday is the Sabbath in which you're supposed to observe all these rules about don't look like you're working. Hey, says right here there's no reaping or gathering. Them's the rules, you guys. Oh, some days I wonder, don't you, what God must think of all of our religious rules? Even though some of them seem like they were created with the best of intentions, but they end up having the effect of some people are in and some people are out. It's the reason I'm so grateful in the United Methodist Church this table where we're going to gather in this sacrament of reconciliation and renewal, Holy Communion, we make no rules about who can come here. Well, so this religious rules thing, if you follow along the story, Jesus had a pretty good comeback to those religious leaders that said, don't pluck the grain and the wheat, you can't eat anything because it looks like you're working. We heard it read, as Tia offered it to us, in the Common English Bible version. There's so many great versions of Scripture that have been translated. One that we use here at Central Church sometimes that I've encouraged people to think about for personal Bible study is a paraphrase version of Scripture known as the Message that started being produced about 30 years ago. It has a ring of everyday talk to it. See what you think of this. The Message paraphrase has Jesus saying back to the leaders this: if you had any idea what the Scripture meant, that God prefers a flexible heart over an inflexible ritual, then you wouldn't be nitpicking like this. I like that idea of a flexible heart, don't you? Because the longer I live in this world, I see how I have to work diligently to move toward a flexible heart. A heart that is more easily moved than stuck, that notices others outside of my oh-so-important routines. A flexible heart that is actually willing to be taught a thing or two, seeks out the good even when wronged. A heart that's not caught up in my rigid ideas about how other people need to be behaving in order to be acceptable in my sight, let alone God's. Now, I tell you, I don't always get there. In fact, I usually don't. Or if I do, it's in fleeting moments that my heart is truly that open. But I think that's what Jesus coaches us to do when we get caught up in our rules. And that's what keeping Sabbath time can give us space to think about. Part of the reason we slow down is so that a deeper current can move in us to consider what God is inviting us into that's a bigger, more beautiful story than the little checklist of do's that I'm trying to get involved in. For me, my Sabbath day is Monday. For Pastor Dale, it's Friday. That's a day when we have intentionally said we'll be off the clock. Now, I don't know when yours is, and maybe you find that it's really hard to slow down and pay attention to deeper things in life as a habit for a full 24-hour period. That's okay. But I do think it's spiritual practice to intentionally make something happen on a regular basis in our lives. And if all possible, spend some of it outdoors. Because I do think the Creator God is so adept at using creation to bring us outside of ourselves. We live in a beautiful world. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God." The natural world, the reformer John Calvin once said, is the theater of God's glory. Isn't that a great phrase? Outside is the theater of God's glory. Where have you witnessed the theater of God's glory lately? Like all of us here, I have been allowed to be in places that are stunningly beautiful, where I finally have the sense to shut up and not even try to take a picture of it with my phone, just to be present to it. I bet if we went around the room today, all of us would have, over the summer, at least one or two instances like that where we were in the presence of great beauty. And we connected that it belonged to the Creator. When we stop our labor and we ponder the natural world, what some have called the green scriptures, we cultivate in ourselves reverence, confidence, and gratitude. And you know, we can never have too much of those things. And when we're there, we get reminded We are so much more than the work we do. Wendell Berry, who's a great naturalist writer and poet, I think Wendell Berry could have been a follower of Jesus that day in the wheat field as they were walking through plucking the heads of wheat, when he writes, "We must recover the sense of the majesty of creation and the ability to be worshipful in its presence. For I do not doubt that it is only on the condition of humility and reverence before the world that our species will be able to remain in it." On this Labor Day weekend, we give thanks for the labor of God, which is creation itself around us. God has been working a long, long time to give us what's outside. And even God, the creation story says, took a rest. Why shouldn't we? And just maybe, in such moments, we could get moved to see our life work as an offering to the one who sustains all of life. Beloved, on this Labor Day weekend, don't just act busy. Take a Sabbath, even if it's just for an hour or two, where we're unplugged and we're considering the beautiful life God has put before us. And do it. Not because it's a rule, but because keeping Sabbath just might save our lives. Amen.